Let me ask you something. When you fly slow flight, is your stall warning horn screaming the whole time? If you learned to fly more than about 10 years ago, the honest answer is probably yes. And if that's how you're practicing for your check ride today, I've got some news that might just save your ride. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, the show where we walk through the hard stuff together and try to make you a little bit safer every time you strap in. Today we're talking about slow flight. Specifically, the way the standard changed back in 2017 and why so many good pilots are still practicing it the old way and getting surprised on check ride day. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Training is long, and it's expensive, and sometimes you need something you can hold in your hand to remind yourself how far you've come. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. That's aviationsoul.com. Okay, slow flight. Here's the setup. For decades, the way we taught slow flight was simple and a little bit terrifying. You'd slow the airplane down, add power to hold altitude, and keep pulling that nose up higher and higher until the stall warning horn came on, and then you'd fly right there. Horn blaring, on the ragged edge. The idea was to demonstrate that you could control the airplane at what we called minimum controllable airspeed. The absolute slowest the airplane could go before it quit flying. Sounds impressive, right? Flying on the very edge of a stall, holding heading, holding altitude, making turns, all with that horn going off in your ear. And here's the problem. It was teaching people the wrong lesson. Think about what that maneuver actually rehearses. It rehearses being comfortable with a stall horn going off. It rehearses hanging out in a flight regime where you have almost no margin, where a gust or a moment of distraction or a slightly uncoordinated turn drops you into a full stall. We were taking students, some of them with 15 or 20 hours, and we were parking them right on the edge of the cliff and asking them to dance there. Now, in a training environment with an instructor at altitude, that's a survivable exercise. But we weren't just teaching a maneuver, we were teaching a habit. We were teaching people that flying with the horn on was normal, that it was a place you could just live for a while. And where do most stall spin accidents actually happen? Not up at altitude doing airwork. They happen down low. In the pattern on the base to final turn, when somebody overshoots the centerline, cranks in a little too much bank, adds a little bottom rudder to bring the nose around, and stalls a wing at 300 feet with nowhere to go. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, looked hard at those numbers. Loss of control in flight was, and still is, one of the leading causes of fatal general aviation accidents, so they made a change. In 2017, when the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, took over from the old practical test standards, slow flight got rewritten, and the change was this. You no longer fly slow flight with the stall warning blaring. You fly it at a speed just above the point where the stall warning comes on. Let me say that again, because this is the whole ballgame. The new standard is that during slow flight, your stall warning should not be going off. If that horn comes on, you're too slow. You add a little power, you lower the nose just a hair, you get the airspeed back up to where the airplane is talking to you but not warning you. The ACS puts a number on it. You're looking for an airspeed roughly 5 to 10 knots above the stalling speed, at a speed where any further increase in angle of attack, any increase in load factor, or any reduction in power would cause an immediate stall. So you're still slow, you're still flying that backside of the power curve, mushing along, nose high, lots of power, controls sloppy and mushy. It's still a demanding maneuver, but you're doing it with a margin instead of without one. Now here's where I see people get tripped up. And this is the part I really want you to hear if you've got a check ride coming. A lot of students learn this maneuver from an instructor who learned it the old way, maybe a great instructor, maybe somebody with thousands of hours. But muscle memory is a powerful thing, and plenty of good CFIs still, out of pure habit, teach students to pull it back until the horn chirps and hold it there. So the student shows up on check ride day, the examiner asks for slow flight, and the student does exactly what they practiced. They slow it down, and they keep pulling until that horn comes on. And they hold it there proudly, thinking they're nailing it. And the examiner is looking for the exact opposite. The examiner is looking for you to establish and maintain that slow airspeed without activating the stall warning. If your horn is going off through the whole maneuver, that's not a demonstration of the standard. That's a deviation from it. And depending on the examiner and how the rest of the ride is going, that can absolutely be a conversation you don't want to be having. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The check ride is not a test of whether you can fly the airplane to its absolute limit. It's a test of whether you can fly to air split trick press play plus flip look look lack 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 You're going to start by clearing the area. Clearing turns, both directions, because you're about to be nose high and slow with a big blind spot over the cowling. Pick an altitude that gives you room, and I mean real room. The ACS wants you within 100 feet of your assigned altitude, plus or minus 10 knots on airspeed, plus or minus 10 degrees on heading, and if you're doing turns within 10 degrees of your bank. But forget the numbers for a second. Give yourself altitude, because if this goes wrong and you stall, you want air underneath you. Now you reduce power and you start slowing down. As the airspeed bleeds off, you're feeding in back pressure to hold altitude. This is where the trim becomes your best friend. Trim off that pressure as you slow. A lot of students fight the airplane the whole way down because they never trim. And then they're wrestling the yoke and chasing altitude and it all falls apart. Trim as you go. Configuration matters too. The examiner will usually specify. Sometimes it's clean, sometimes it's in the landing configuration with full flaps and gear down if you've got retractable gear. Know both, and remember your checklist. This is a maneuver, but you still fly the airplane like a professional. Flaps as required, and if you're flying something with retractable gear, that gear needs to be where it belongs. As you get slow, the airplane changes. The controls get mushy, the nose is way up there. You need a lot of power to hold altitude, and here's a big one that trips people up. At high angles of attack, in most training airplanes, that propeller is throwing a lot of air across the tail, and you're going to need right rudder. Real right rudder, in a left turn especially. The coordination gets tricky, and this is exactly where an uncoordinated stall wants to bite you. Keep that ball centered. Fly with your feet. Now you settle into the target. You want the airspeed just above the stall warning. Here's the trick I teach. Ease the nose up until you just hear the very first chirp of the horn, and then release a touch of back pressure so it goes quiet, and you settle right there, just below the chirp. That's your spot. That's the airspeed the ACS is asking for. You're on the back side of the power curve, mushing along, and the horn is silent. Then the examiner puts you to work. Hold your altitude, make a turn to a heading, maybe a climb, maybe a descent, maybe a configuration change, and through all of it, you're managing pitch and power together, keeping that airspeed pinned, keeping the ball centered, and keeping the horn quiet. If the horn does come on, don't panic, and don't yank. Just add a whisper of power and relax a hair of back pressure. Get back to silent, small corrections. This whole maneuver rewards a light touch and punishes a heavy hand. And when you're done, you recover. Full power, pitch for the airspeed, flaps up in stages, back to cruise, clean, smooth, deliberate. Let me give you a scenario, because this is where it all comes together and where it actually matters. Long after your check ride is a memory. You're on downwind at a non-towered field. Nice day. You put in your first notch of flaps. You slow to your pattern speed. You turn base. There's a Cessna ahead of you that's slow to clear the runway. So you extend your base a little, and now you're a touch high and a touch fast, and you overshoot the extended centerline on your turn to final. Happens to everybody. Now the pilot who trained the old way, who spent all those hours comfortable with the stall horn going off, what does that pilot do? They crank and bank to salvage the turn. They pull to bring the nose around, and when they hear the horn, some quiet part of their brain says, that's fine, I fly with the horn on all the time, and that's the setup for a base to final stall spin. That's the accident. The pilot who trained to the current standard has a different relationship with that horn. To them, the horn is a hard boundary, not a familiar friend. When it chirps, the reaction is immediate and automatic. Reduce the angle of attack, get the margin back, go around if you have to. That silent horn during slow flight training builds a habit where the warning means something, where it triggers action instead of comfort. That's the whole point of the change. It was never really about the maneuver, it was about the reflex we build in you while you fly it. So if you're prepping for a check ride right now, here's your homework. Go find the current airman certification standards for your certificate. It's free on the FAA website. Read the slow flight task. Read it word for word. Look at the note that talks about performing the maneuver without a stall warning, and then go fly it that way with your instructor. And if your instructor's been teaching it the old way out of habit, have that conversation. A good CFI will respect you for it. I know I do when a student brings me the book and says, "Hey, the standard says this. Can we make sure we're on the same page?" And here's the honest part. Learning to fly is hard. It's expensive. You're paying real money for every hour that Hobbs meter is turning, and it is maddening to fail a check ride, or even to fumble a maneuver over something that comes down to which version of a standard you happen to be taught. So take ownership of the book. The ACS is not a secret. The examiner is working from it, and so should you. My thanks to the Federal Aviation Administration, whose airman certification standards and advisory circulars on slow flight and stall awareness are where all of this lives, and they're free for anybody who wants to go read them. If you want the links, or you just want to poke around the archive, we keep it all at radiohangar.com. Fly it slow, fly it coordinated, and keep that horn quiet. I'll catch you next time.